Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
He spent 33 and a half years living a genuine human life before going to the cross. Why would all that time be needed for redemption and salvation? Couldn't he just miraculously have appeared as a man and then died the next day or the next month to accomplish our redemption? Well, the salvation that this one came to accomplish was more than just as a sacrifice to save us from our sins. This one had to live the life of the first God-man in order to save us, not just to heaven, but as the Bible says, save us to the uttermost. Francis Ball has joined us for, I think, what has at least the promise of being a marvelous program. Francis, I'm glad you're here today.
Well, I'm very happy to be here, and I believe you're exactly right. This is a marvelous message and very enlightening. I hope our hearers will get the points that are brought out here by Brother Lee.
Francis, I like the premise of the program, and let me say it was not original. I took it right out of the pages of the life study message that we're covering today, and that is why the Lord Jesus didn't simply take the form of a man for a few days and then die on the cross for our sins. Why did he go through such a long process, taking this 33 and a half years, experiencing every aspect of human life, even being in the womb for 9 months? It's really something to ponder, isn't it?
It certainly is, especially when you consider God is almighty. He could create everything, as you mentioned, in 6 days. Everything was brought into being just by a word. But when it came to the matter of saving man, this required something far more than just a sacrifice to deal with our sins and to restore us to Him. So we're going to see today, I believe, in this message, something much more than we realized about the preparation of the God-man Jesus to be our sacrifice.
And I want to emphasize this compound word you just used. I think I used it earlier, God-man. Of course, we know theologically, doctrinally, he was God and he was man. But I don't know that we give nearly enough thought, enough consideration, enough appreciation to either side, really, that he was fully God, completely God, perfectly God, excellently God.
Amen.
And yet genuinely man. And that is the point that we really want to focus on in early part of the program today. His humanity was genuine, wasn't it? It wasn't artificial.
That's right. Not a phantom. He was a genuine man.
Okay, let's pick up a couple of verses. This is the life study of Luke, but Witness Lee is going to refer to some other portions of the New Testament today particularly, and we'll start out with Hebrews chapter 2, a couple of verses here that really help to underscore this matter of his humanity. Chapter 2, verse 14 in the book of Hebrews, "Since therefore the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner partook of the same. For assuredly it is not to angels that he gives help, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Hence, he should have been made like his brothers in all things." Marvelous.
That is marvelous. Like his brothers in all things. And we'll see on this program how much like his brothers he became.
Okay, let's join Witness Lee.
Have you ever thought about why, to save us, God had to live in man for 33 and a half years? We know in creating the universe, God only spent 7 days. That's it. Then why God, to save us, he needed to live on this earth? Why, after becoming a man, he still lived on this earth 33 and a half years? And he lived in a way that's more than genuine. Have you ever thought about it? In God's creation, God only did things, see? But in God's salvation, he not only did things, he became us. He became a man. Why he didn't become a man and stayed on this earth just about 1 month? My goodness. The little child Jesus, after being delivered, over 1 week he became a giant. and he needed to preach. So after one way, he came out to preach. He preached for 6 days. And then within 1 month, he accomplished redemption. How about that? That'd be marvelous. Have you ever thought about this? I have thought a lot about this. He didn't grow up miraculously. He grew up normally. How long, how slow you and I grew. And he grew in the same way. Why? You tell me why. Just to snatch you out of hell and bring you into heaven, that's easy. But for the saving God to become a man and to live a life that can qualify him to save us and that can become a basic factor for our dynamic salvation, this takes time. The dynamic salvation means that he became a man and he lived a man's life, but not to express man, but to express God. In the entire universe, there was a man living, a God-man living. Luke surely presents us a genuine man, a typical man, a genuine man, a real man, a normal man, a man growing up in the human way. He just lived a God-man life.
Francis, we begin with the question that Witness Lee picked up here. Why did the Lord need to live a typical, genuine life of 33 and a half years? Why not just in 1 month come somewhat miraculously as a man, preach, do what he needed to do, go to the cross, get it over with? The answer, and I'll let you elaborate on it, but it seems to me to be quite much connected to whether or not we really understand what the word salvation means.
I believe, Chris, that the biggest thing here is to realize that he's just not our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He came not just to redeem us from our sins and from eternal perdition, but he came to save us and save us by his life and in his life. And for him to be qualified to save us in his life meant that he needed time. And it says in the verse we quoted a while ago, "In like manner he took upon him the blood and the flesh, to be like us in all manner." He was born in a normal way. He was brought into this world. He grew up to be a full man. And he experienced humanity in every way. He was a genuine man. And seeing this, we realize what kind of person he was and what kind of salvation he has provided for us. Not just a rescue, but a genuine, living salvation that's good for life.
Francis, I was thinking of a verse while you were speaking there that I think somewhat summarizes both aspects here, and that was the verse that I was considering was Romans 5:10, which says, "For if we being enemies were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life," as you said, having been reconciled. So we're not diminishing the matter of our redemption, of reconciliation by his death, but it's this saved in his life part that probably doesn't get enough attention in among believers, is it?
That's for sure. That much time is spent on preaching about the redemption of Christ, which is marvelous. Without it, we would not have anything. But with that, we are not sufficiently supplied to be fully saved. It's by his living, by his life, as the verse you read. That life is what saves us. It's the saving life of Christ.
Francis, let's go on. We're going to expand the question a little bit now and extend it to what were his qualifications to be the one who could save us in such a way? And we want to pick up another verse here in Philippians chapter 2 now. Verse 6 says, "Who existing in the form of God did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of a cross." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The man Savior is a genuine man with a real human nature and perfect human virtues. But he is also the complete God. Not a partial God. He's the complete God. He is a genuine man, and he is also the complete God as well. In his humanity, there is the capacity of salvation. But with his divinity, this capacity is empowered.
Amen.
It is not only empowered, it is also ensured. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us. Jesus there indicates his humanity. And his son, that means the son of God, indicates his divinity. The blood he shed on the cross was not only the blood of Jesus, but also the blood of the Son of God.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus means that a genuine blood of man, a genuine man blood that can redeem man. And the Son of God there, indicating his divinity, ensures the efficacy of that blood and makes that blood eternal. Without his divinity, how could his redemption be eternal? Humanity qualifies him. Divinity empowers him to save man. And his divinity also ensures his ability to save.
Francis, as we were talking, few people, probably even few theologians, have considered that much about what qualified the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. For this, he had to be both the complete God and a genuine, perfect man with perfect blood that had both aspects, humanity and divinity, so that our salvation would be ensured. His last words here, his humanity qualifies him, his divinity empowers him to save man, and his divinity ensures his ability to save. Let's talk about these three points combined in this tremendous phrase.
This is a tremendous phrase. I can't say enough about how marvelous this view of who Jesus Christ was to be our Redeemer and our Savior. He was certainly a real man, a genuine man, and he had the real humanity. And also, he had the perfect virtues of a man. He's a man in every sense of the word. And as a man, he was qualified to be our Redeemer because he lived on this earth and for these 33 years in a very God-man way. He was living in a human life, but not expressing a human life. He was expressing God. In everything, he was the expression of God. And as you pointed out, he had the virtues of man, but these virtues were empowered and strengthened and uplifted by the divine life. The divine and excellent attributes were what he expressed in his human living. This is marvelous beyond our ability to really conceive it without some light from the Lord himself. He emptied himself. He became in the likeness of men. He was found in fashion as a man. Even then, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, so that everything he did not by his human life, but by his divine life, to express God. He was living God out in humanity. He was a God-man, fully man and also absolutely, completely God.
You know, I think one thought that probably many people have considered being God and in his eternal counsel determining that he would come in incarnation as a man, he could have selected any man to come as. He could have come certainly at a station that would be far more befitting to his real nature. He could have come as a king. He could have come as a great one. But it says, according to the verse we read, not only did he humble himself, but he took the form of a slave, and he came as such a lowly one. A carpenter's son, and somewhat at the bottom, almost as if he was getting under all of humanity to lift up the whole of humanity.
That's right.
These are things, almost words fail us to consider, but we really are struck by God's mercy, God's wisdom, and what he has done to accomplish such a salvation.
All right.
Francis, let's go on. You brought up a point here at the end that we want to touch in our final segment today, and that is that even though he was completely God, perfectly man, he always chose to live in a way that would allow the divine life to be expressed through his humanity rather than his own life. Mm-hmm. We find reference to this in John chapter 5 and chapter 6, a couple of verses here. Chapter 5, verse 30 says, I can do nothing from myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And then in chapter 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. All the time putting off his own life and allowing the divine life of God to be expressed through him. Here's Witness Lee once more.
Now we come to his God-man living, the Lord Jesus. While he was living a man, he was not living by his own mind, will, and emotion. And this means he was not living by his own life. Life here means the very being. So he did live a man, but he didn't live a man by his mind, will, and emotion. He lived by God's life because he did not seek his own will, but God's will. He came not to do his own will, but to do God's will. That means he came to live a man, not by man's life, but by God's life.
Amen.
It's wonderful. And all these attributes are contained in his human virtues, and not only contained, but also mingled with his human virtues. Just think about the case of the Good Samaritan. Just think about it. Was that just human living? It was a Good Samaritan's living. But in that Good Samaritan, God was there. God was there empowering that man. Was the love exercised there a human Samaritan's love? It was. But it was empowered and enriched by the divine love. Then you consider another case, the case of Zacchaeus. You could see the man Jesus was there. But some aspects in that story show us something divine. Not only his omnipresence, but something more. What was that? That was the divine attributes strengthening the human virtues of the man Jesus. That was his living. In this man Jesus, man's mind, will, emotion, all become the organs to contain God's mind, will, and emotion. Marvelous.
Francis, many times in the period that we've been doing these life study programs, not just in Luke, but since we began, we've used analogies like the hand and the glove. That came up in our program recently. The hand filling the glove is an illustration of what the Bible refers to as God's economy. Now here, I think he really defined that very, very well when he brought up this last point. I'll just repeat his words here and then ask you to develop this. In this man, Jesus, man's mind, will, emotion all became the organs to contain God's mind, will, and emotion.
Mm. My, that is marvelous, isn't it? This man was a Savior. He is the Savior. Not only the Redeemer to save us out of hell, but he's the Savior to save us in life. And in this way, Chris, he is really the pattern. The pattern of what? The pattern of a man who is a real man, would live by another life. Though he was perfect man, he was completely man and a genuine man, yet he did not live out the man's life. He lived out God's life. He took God as the hand in the glove, and it just exactly fit. Sometimes I use that illustration, and I point out that we're talking about a surgical glove, not a work glove,
yeah.
So that it exactly fits all the aspects of the hand. So here is a man, fully man, yet living out another life. The life of God was in him. And this life is available to us, too, because He lived it. He has put this life into us by our believing in Him. Now the life of Christ is in us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what Paul said, and that's what we need to realize, that we have an empowering life in us. We have a certain kind of love, but that love needs the empowering of the divine nature and the divine life. This is what we call organic salvation. It's not just judicial to make us right with God, but it's also organic to make us very much like God, so that He is working His very life in us. If we reject our own life, as He did, and we take His life as our life, then we will live a God-man life like He did. He had to do this in order to save us completely. He had to put this life into us, not just die on the cross, but be resurrected, become the life-giving Spirit, and get into us as everything we need in order to live a God-man life today.
So when our listeners hear this phrase, the divine attributes filling or being expressed in the human virtues, love is a good example. He used the story of the Good Samaritan as the example here. When we see the Good Samaritan, we really see love, but not just good human love. Mm-hmm. And we see it strengthened, enriched, and empowered by the divine love. In our last program, we referred to a testimony of a brother that Witness Lee liked, because the brother said he woke up in the morning and was so much in love with his wife and filled with so many tender feelings of love towards his wife, but by the evening he was secretly considering if he could get a divorce. And this is a good picture of what human love is like, and yeah, a love that needs the strengthening, enriching, and empowering of the divine love.
Very good. Isn't this marvelous that we could have such a life in us, empowering us not to live our own life, but to live the life that's in us by our new birth? And it's not just to be born and then go to heaven.
Right.
But it's that He wants to live that life in us just like He did. He's our pattern, a pattern of one rejecting his own life to live the life of another. That's our privilege as believers in the Lord Jesus. He is now the life-giving Spirit in our spirit, and all the attributes of God can be worked into human virtues, strengthening and supplying us so that we could live like He lived.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord is right, Francis.
Amen.
Another opportunity for you and I to both have the same sensation. We're just privileged to be able to handle such treasures.
It's too marvelous.
Thank you, Francis.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.